from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesia and Micronesia agree to increase cooperation in economy and connectivity. Indonesia-Brunei needs to improve inter-parliament cooperation. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani.
President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, received a state visit of President of the Federated State of Micronesia, Peter M. Christian, at the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java, on Wednesday. In the meeting, the head of state overs N-219 Nurtanio aircraft made in Indonesia. According to Jokowi, increasing connectivity is important because Indonesia and Federated States of Micronesia are both archipelagic countries. In addition, according to Jokowi, President Christian plans to directly visit PT Dirgantara Indonesia aircraft manufacturer in Bandung, West Java on Thursday. Both countries also agreed to improve economic cooperation. One of them is by inviting entrepreneurs from Federated States of Micronesia to attend the Trade Expo Indonesia 2018. We agree to strengthen cooperation in various forums in South Pacific, among others through cooperation in the Pacific Island Forum. In the bilateral meeting, we discussed various efforts to improve bilateral cooperation. Firstly, as archipelagic countries, we agree to increase cooperation in the maritime field and increase inter-island connectivity. Indonesia also offers N-219 aircraft produced by PT Dirgantara Indonesia to be used as inter-island transport aircraft. President Christian on Thursday will visit the manufacturer in Bandung. Secondly, in the economic field, we agree to increase the interaction of entrepreneurs of both countries. In this connection, I invite businessmen of the United States of Micronesia to participate in Indonesian Trade Expo 2018. Meanwhile, President of the Federated States of Micronesia, Peter M. Christian, welcomed various cooperation offers from Indonesia. Christian said he wanted to be more useful to get closer relations between the two developing countries.
While we talk about economic development and technical assistance, unfortunately, the Federated States of Micronesia, unlike Indonesia, has very limited resources and limited land, limited number of people to develop the economy for the enjoyment of a better economic and social development status for our people. We are in this sense grateful to Indonesia government for offering to assist us with technical and economic exchanges to help us challenge the obstacles that lie before Micronesia in our effort to develop our country.
The relationship between the two countries was also enhanced through the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding on visa-free between the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Retno LP Marsudi, and the representative of Foreign Ministry of Federated States of Micronesia, Lorin Robert. The Federated States of Micronesia is an archipelagic country covering the states of Yap, Chuuk, Pohnpei, and Kosrae, which are scattered in the Western Pacific Ocean. The country with 607 islands is located to the northeast of Papua Island, south of Guam and Mariana Islands, west of Nauru and Marshall Islands, and east of the Philippines. India is currently trying to explore sugar trading cooperation with Indonesia. India, as the second largest sugar producer in the world, is trying to export its sugar surplus to Indonesia. Not only that, India plans to have Indonesia to revitalize sugar factory in Indonesia, which is largely a relic of the Dutch colonial government. However, to realize such cooperation, Indonesia was asked to reconsider the amount of import duty, which is still too high, so that makes Indian sugar products are not competitive in the Indonesian market. This was conveyed by Director General of Foreign Trade of Ministry of Trade of the Republic of Indonesia, Oke Nurwan, after attending India-Indonesia Forum on Sugar Trade in Jakarta Tuesday.
Ada perlakuan yang berbeda oleh Indonesia di mana sugar mereka tidak.
There are different treatments by Indonesia where their sugar does not become competitive due to the 10% import tariffs, while the other from Australia and Thailand is the same, which is still 5%. So they just ask again to see this again. Then they can also, in government-to-government scheme, invite, build. They know our problem. One of them is our aging sugar factories and so on. They have the technology for it. Oke Nurwan further said, the Ministry of Trade will consider the desire of India to export sugar production to Indonesia. He also stated that Indonesia is principally open and does not limit itself to trade cooperations with various countries. However, he still asks India as an exporting country to customize its products with predetermined specifications and conditions. India is the second largest sugar producer in the world after Brazil. Recently, the Indian Sugar Factory Association said sugar production in India this year is projected to increase by 10%, with total production reaching 35 million tons. Indonesian Ambassador to Brunei Darussalam, Sujatmiko, said the long-standing and close cooperation between the Indonesian government and Brunei Darussalam needs to be supported by increasing inter-parliament relationship of the two countries. In his written statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Tuesday, Ambassador Sujatmiko was confident that the growing relationship between the two countries' parliaments would strengthen intensive intergovernmental relations and cooperation. This was said by Ambassador Sujatmiko after accompanying the People's Consultative Assembly MPR delegation led by the Vice Chairman of the Assembly. Hidayat Nur Wahid met and exchanged ideas with his Brunei counterpart in Bandar Sri Begawan Tuesday morning. Meanwhile, Vice Chairman of the Assembly, Hidayat Nurul Wahid, underscored the need to improve the relationship between the Parliament. During the meeting, an invitation was also presented to the Chairman of Brunei Legislative Council to visit Indonesia to discuss further concrete steps to improve parliamentary cooperation not only bilaterally but also within the framework of ASEAN, OIC, and other forums. In addition to this visit, the People's Consultative Assembly delegation also had socialization of Assembly's four pillars to Indonesian citizens at the residence of Indonesian ambassador, which was attended by about 80 representatives of Indonesian citizens who live and work in Brunei Darussalam. Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on Tuesday expressed readiness to become President Joko Widodo's running mate again in the presidential election in April next year if the law allows. The Chief of Vice President's expert team, Sofyan Wanandi, on a separate occasion stated that Kalla would always put the interests of the nation and state first, and so if the law allows him to be in the force for more than two periods, he will be ready to be Jokowi's running mate in 2019 election. The Partai Persatuan Indonesia Perindo Party has filed a judicial review on Law No. 7, 2017 on general election with regard to Article 169, which states that a presidential or vice presidential candidate may run only if the person concerned has never been in the same post twice. The clause may be understood as being in the post twice in a row or not. And so in view of that, Perindo has asked for judicial review or need to seek confirmation. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Health Minister Nila Muluk said the government is ready to conduct mass measles rubella or MR immunization in 28 provinces outside Java and Bali on August the 1st. It was said by Nila Muluk during a working visit to Gorontalo on Tuesday. The Ministry of Health has also coordinated with local governments in 28 provinces to commit to implement rubella measles immunization. Meanwhile, the Gorontalo district government declared its commitment to succeed the MR mass immunization by targeting 11,000 children to get the immunization. Head of Gorontalo Health Office Roni said vaccines and immunization facilities have been prepared by the provincial government. In addition, the local government has also provided more than 500 million rupiah budget for the procurement of new cold chain facilities. Roni said it is necessary to coordinate with the head of the education office to facilitate the implementation of immunization at schools. Indonesian black tea has won an award at the International Gourmet Tea Competition, Teas of the World Agency for the Valorization of Agricultural Products AVPA Paris 2018. Indonesian tea became the leading in the category of black tea. Other categories that the country followed included green tea, white tea, oolong clear, Darjeeling, oolong woven, oolong oriental beauty, oolong dark, and others. The Trade Minister's Director for National Export Development, Ari Satria, said in a press statement received by Antara on Tuesday that the ministry continues to diversify Indonesian tea products to be more valuable and competitive in order to strengthen tea export market. At the international event, 113 tea products from 15 countries competed to win 53 awards. The award recipient for black tea category was PT Bukit Sari with its Bangkit Wangi brand from Inter Aromat BV as the main distributor and European representative in Paris. The participation of Indonesia tea products in this competition started from a seminar entitled Export Opportunity of Tea Products to Abroad held in Bandung, West Java on March 28, 2018. At the seminar, representatives from AVPA, an organization that aims to have increased the value and marketing of agricultural products at national and international levels, deliver a presentation about the certification of tea as one of the requirements to enter the French market and the implementation of the International Gourmet Tea Competition Teas of the World AVPA Paris 2018. France is the fifth largest tea importer in Europe. Based on trade map data of 2017, the French import value for tea products with or without taste variant with HS0902 code has reached $168.37 million. The Central Sulawesi Provincial Administration will organize the second tour of the Central Celebes TDCC from October 14 to 18. The event would cover a total distance of 740 kilometers and comprise five stages. Central Sulawesi Governor Longki Janggola was quoted as saying by Haris Karimin, spokesman of the Provincial Administration in Palu, Central Sulawesi capital city on Tuesday. Karimin stated, Janggola was in Jakarta on Monday to forge cooperation with Marks Plus Promotion Institute. The governor met with Marks Plus Chairman Hermawan Kartajaya and asked the firm to help promote TDCC 2018. He remarked that Tour de Central Celebes TDCC has been recognized by UCI, Union Cyclists International, or the World Governing Body for sports cycling and overseas international competitive cycling events. Tour de Central Celebes TDCC is a sport tourism event aimed at promoting tourist destinations existing in Central Sulawesi. The cycling race will tour seven districts and cities with the start from Luwuk in Banggai District and finish line in Palu, the province capital. The event is also expected to promote Poso, previously conflict-ridden city, as a peaceful, safe and beautiful city now. According to Inyoman Sariajaya, head of the Central Sulawesi Tourism Office, at least 19 foreign cyclist teams from 16 countries and 5 national teams are expected to participate in the event. Well, listener, that was the news.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today, entitled The Trump and Putin Meeting in Helsinki. Just like the meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore some time ago, ahead of Donald Trump's meeting with President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, was also preceded by a question mark. A number of international observers doubted not only the certainty of the meeting between the two leaders, but also what would result from the talks. However, the world witnessed eventually Donald Trump meet up with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. The doubt regarding the outcome of the meeting were answered with the statement of the two presidents after they met. The US president declared that a one-on-one meeting with his Russian counterpart had been a good start. Russian president told reporters the meeting with Trump had become a negotiating event. According to Putin, the 2 hours talk with Trump were going on in an open and constructive atmosphere. If Trump said that the talks in Helsinki was a good start, Putin went farther than that, saying he believed the discussion has been successful and fruitful. From the explanation of the two leaders, the meeting in Helsinki on Monday discussed not only bilateral relations, but also regional and international issues. In a bilateral perspective, Putin and Trump have tried to talk about both political and psychological blunt obstacles. Both Putin and Trump clarified allegations of Moscow's intervention over presidential election won by Trump. In the economic field, they discuss efforts to improve relationship that has occurred so far. Regarding international affairs, before the meeting, Putin stated that he and Trump would address a complex multinational issue. The one they discussed was their position in relation to Iran's role, especially in terms of nuclear testing and production. The question is, will the meeting of US and Russian leaders have a significant impact in the context of regional and international relations? In a statement, in diplomatic rhetoric, both have shown positive signals. It may be said that the meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin is a good start, especially for the establishment of good relations between the two countries, which has deteriorated, particularly since Crimean annexation by Russia in 2014. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event which occurred on July 18, 1974, the establishment of Public Company of National Housing Development. The National Housing Development Public Company Perum Perum Nas is the state-owned enterprises engaged in housing and settlement. Perum Perum Nas was established as a government solution in providing decent housing for the middle to lower class. The company was established based on Government Regulation No. 29, 1974, issued on July 18, 1974. The regulation was amended by Government Regulation No. 12, 1988 and was amended through Government Regulation No. 15, 2004, dated on May 10, 2004. Through the concept of large-scale development, Perum Nas managed to significant contribution in the formation of residential areas and new cities scattered throughout Indonesia. Now it's turn to the next event which occurred on July 18, 1976. Nadia Comăneci gains 10 scores of the Olympics in Montreal, Canada. Romanian young gymnast Nadia Comăneci, 14 years old, was the first female gymnastics athlete to get a perfect score of 10 in the history of gymnastics at the Olympics. It was obtained when winning 3 gold medals at the most prestigious event at the Montreal Olympics in 1976. The furor had happened in the arena of gymnastics because the numeric point board was not designed to display a perfect 10 record number. The point board can only note its score of 9.90. We end today's edition of Today in History with an event of Nelson Mandela International Day. On July 18 is the birthday of former South African President Nelson Mandela. Related to Mandela's birthday, the United Nations declared that July 18 as Nelson Mandela International Day. It was a gift for Mandela since the last 2009. The decision was firstly expressed by the UN in dedicating an honor to someone. To commemorate Nelson Mandela International Day, people in the world are required to conduct social works in their environments.
listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. Today, entitled, Indonesian Government Provides Incentives for Milk Processing Industry. The Ministry of Industry is proposing to provide incentives for domestic milk processing industry to be more competitive. The fiscal facility is a form of appreciation to business actors who have established partnerships with local dairy farmers and absorb a lot of fresh milk in the country. It was said by Director of Beverages, Tobacco, Refreshing Material, Directorate General of Agro-Industry, the Ministry of Industry, Abdul Rahim, in Jakarta recently. Abdul Rahim added, by fulfilling the requirements of the partnership, the industry can apply for incentives. The providing incentives in the form of raw materials import duty is given as one of the efforts of the Ministry of Industry to encourage the development of national milk processing industry. In addition, it is expected that a number of dairy farmers will increase, while milk consumption also increased to keep people healthy. Through the policy, Rahim is optimistic that domestic fresh milk production will continue to increase as the industry needs to get cheaper import duty incentives for raw materials. He also said the threshold for submission of incentives will continue to be raised in an effort to encourage the industry to absorb more domestic fresh milk. The providing incentives is also one of the points discussed in the draft regulation of the Ministry of Industry concerning the development of the national milk industry that is being prepared by the ministry. Previously, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto said that his ministry focused on boosting milk processing industry in the country. The goal is to meet the needs of consumers both in the domestic market and for export. Therefore, the development of milk processing industry needs to be done through partnership program with dairy farmers in an integrated manner. The partnership program is expected to bring multiple effects, namely spurring regional economic growth, increasing local revenue and employment so as to prosper the community. Minister Erlangga Hartarto believes that the milk processing industry also contributes significantly to the growth of food and beverage industry. This is indicated by the growth rate of the food and beverage industry in 2017, which reached 9.23%, far above the national economic growth of 5.07%. In addition, the role of the food and beverage industry subsector to the economy amounted to 6.14% and to the gross domestic product of non-oil and gas industries reached 34.3%, making it the largest subsector with the largest contribution compared to other subsector industries in the same period. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. President Joko Widodo received a state visit of President of the Federated States of Micronesia, Peter M. Christian, at the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java, on Wednesday. In the meeting, the head of state offers N-219 Nurtanio aircraft made in Indonesia. India is currently trying to explore sugar trade cooperation with Indonesia. India, as the second largest sugar producer in the world, is trying to export its sugar surplus to Indonesia. Not only that, India plans to help Indonesia to revitalize sugar factory in Indonesia, which is largely a relic of the Dutch colonial government. Indonesian Ambassador to Brunei Darussalam, Sujat Miko, said the long-standing and close cooperation between the Indonesian government and Brunei Darussalam needs to be supported by increasing inter-parliament relationship of the two countries. Vice President Yusuf Kala in Jakarta on Tuesday expressed readiness to become President Joko Widodo's running mate again in the presidential election in April next year if the law allows. Indonesian Health Minister Nila Muluk said that the government is ready to conduct mass measles rubella MR immunization in 28 provinces outside Java and Bali on August 1st. Indonesian black tea has won an award at the International Gourmet Tea Competition, Teas of the World Agency for the Valorization of Agricultural Products, AVPA, Paris 2018. Indonesia tea became the leading in the category of black tea. The Central Sulawesi Provincial Administration will organize the second tour de Central Celebes TDCC from October 14 to 18. The event would cover a total distance of 740 kilometers and comprise five stages. Central Sulawesi Governor Longki Janggula was quoted as saying by Haris Karimin, spokesman of the Provincial Administration in Palu, Central Sulawesi capital city, on Tuesday. Well, listener, that was News in Brief.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave, and why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI Quiz 2018 at voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of typical foods from Ngawi, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, a few people know traditional food in Ngawi Regency, East Java. Actually, in Ngawi Regency, there are many traditional foods which are more delicious than other regions have. Take for examples, letok ledre, wedang cemue, and tepo tofu. In today's Citizen, we will discuss about tepo tofu. Listeners, tepo tofu is the traditional food of Ngawi. It is from tepo, tofu, and other ingredients. Tepo is from Javanese language, meaning corn. It refers to the shape of lontong, which is used in tepo tofu. This food, at a glance, looks like tofu lontong or tofu kupat. But this typical food certainly has different taste. Lontong is a dish made from compressed rice cake in the form of cylinder wrapped with a banana leaf, commonly found in Indonesia. Listeners, the taste of tepo tofu is quite unique. Its sauce is hot, sweet, and sour. It is because its sauce is from soy sauce, Javanese tamarind water, as well as ingredients such as garlic, cayenne, palm sugar, and salt. Listeners, if we want to make tepo tofu, firstly, the tofu is covered with egg and then it is fried. After it is done, the tofu is ready to cut along with tepo and put in on the plate. Thus, this is added with slices of cabbage, bean sprouts, fried peanut and onion. And the last, it is poured with sauce on it and sprinkled with crackers. Listeners, if you are curious to taste tepo tofu, you can visit Ngawi East Java Province. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Saya ingin menjadi dosen, or in English, I want to be a lecturer. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about saya ingin menjadi dosen, or in English, I want to be a lecturer. The conversation at Joko's family room. Tony and Enda are talking about job.
Enda, setelah lulus kuliah, kamu akan bekerja di mana?
Belum tahu. Sepertinya aku akan lanjut kuliah ke S2.
S2? Apa itu?
Oh, S2 singkatan dari strata 2, kuliah magister atau master.
Oh.
Aku ingin menjadi dosen.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today. Saya ingin menjadi dosen. Or in English, I want to be a lecturer. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Setelah lulus kuliah, Kamu akan bekerja di mana? Setelah lulus kuliah, kamu akan bekerja di mana? In English, after graduate from university, where do you want to work? Belum tahu. Belum tahu. In English, I don't know yet. Or, I do not know yet. Sepertinya, aku akan lanjut kuliah S2. Sepertinya, aku akan lanjut kuliah S2. In English, I think I will continue to study for S2. S2 singkatan dari strata 2. S2 singkatan dari strata 2. In English, S2 stands for strata 2. Kuliah magister atau master. Kuliah magister atau master. In English, studying for magister or master. Aku ingin menjadi dosen. Aku ingin menjadi dosen. In English, I want to be a lecturer. The level of education in college is S1 stands for strata 1, S2 stands for strata 2, and S3 stands for strata 3. Please attention on the use of the terms in the following sentences. Masuk S1 tahun berapa? Kamu akan kuliah S2 di mana? Dia mahasiswa S3 di Inggris. Saya sedang mengambil S2 di Australia. In the Indonesian language, there are many abbreviations. For examples, singkatan dari apa S2? And singkatan dari SMA. To answer it, you can say S2 singkatan dari strata 2. S2 singkatan dari strata 2. SMA singkatan dari sekolah menengah atas. Or in English, SMA is abbreviation from senior high school. There are some abbreviations which are probably needed when describing your education and background. TK stands for Taman Kanak-kanak or Kindergarten. SD stands for Sekolah Dasar or Elementary School. SMP stands for Sekolah Menengah Pertama or Junior High School. And SMA stands for Sekolah Menengah Atas or Senior High School. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Enda, setelah lulus kuliah, kamu akan bekerja di mana?
Belum tahu. Sepertinya aku akan lanjut kuliah ke S2.
S2? Apa itu?
Oh, S2 singkatan dari strata 2. Kuliah magister atau master.
Oh.
Aku ingin menjadi dosen.
Listener, now we'll give you an exercise. The exercise is to describe your family. For example, anggota keluarga saya berjumlah 4 orang. Saya anak pertama dari 2 bersaudara. Saya mempunyai 1 adik laki-laki. Ia 2 tahun lebih muda daripada saya. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Indonesia,
is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present Mika Tambayong to you. To initiate this segment of Music Corner for today, I'll dedicate to a song, Berpisah Itu Mudah, by a duet of Rizky Febian and Mika Tambayong. The song is a single of Rizky Febian, and he invites Mika Tambayong as his duet partner. The collaboration of the two young Indonesian singers represents a dynamic love story of a couple lover. Accompanied by an interesting acoustic guitar and arrangement, the song Berpisah Itu Mudah tells the young couples should not easily end the relationship because erasing the love memories is not as easy as parting. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song, Berpisah Itu Mudah, by Rizky Febian and Mika Tambayong. Happy listening.
Restau terenak, membaca di sudut paling tenang, menonton pertunjukan musik, telusuri jalanan dari malam hingga pagi.
Tetapkan
Listener, performing a duet was not the first time for Mika Tambayong. She had performed with other singers, including with his uncle, a famous Indonesian singer, Harvey Malihodo. Mika Tambayong was born as Maudi Mika Maria Tambayong in Jakarta on September 15, 1994. Mika started her career in 2008 through a beauty contest event organized by a magazine and in TV soap opera. A year in the world of acting, Mika also tried her talent in the music industry. The first single entitled Cinta Pertama made Mika so popular as a singer. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cinta Pertama by Mika Tambayong.
Setiap aku tahu dia di dekatku, aku susah bila dia tak ada. Tak ingin jauhku darinya. Ada rasa
Mika Tambayong with the song Cinta Pertama, which tells about someone who firstly fall in love. There is a special and unusual feeling, and everyone hope that the first love will end beautifully. In music, Mika learned to his uncle, a senior and outstanding Indonesian singer, Harvey Malihodo. However, Mika apparently did not want to rely on her uncle's name for her music career. Then, although quite well known as a singer, the main activity of Mika Tambayong in the Indonesian entertainment is as an actress. Since 2008, Mika actively starred in dozens of soap operas and movies. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Temukan Jawabannya and Bekas Pacar by Mika Tambayong. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.